Amen. What an awesome time we've had just praising and worshiping God. Just bless our music team again. Hey, okay, really great to be able to stand and be able to preach the word this morning. And I want to talk about blessing today. It's something that's sort of been on my heart for quite a few weeks now, but I just thought today that God blesses us in so many ways, amen? And I'm sure we, just seeing little Emily and the little Ari there, they're beating and clapping, and little Emily just just dancing around there and praising God in her little way, and that's God's heart, isn't it? You know, it's a spirit that's starting to grow and develop, and she's going to be a wonderful trophy for the Lord in the years to come, amen? But as Pastor Chris said, I am jumping out of my skin today. I feel really blessed this week, and we've had a tremendous week on the building, just bringing a lot of things to completion there, and we're able to get all the floor tiles done, and bless Joe and Raj. They put in a couple of really hard days there early in the week there, and they got all that done, and just see the carpet come down. I couple of nights I've sort of hardly been able to sleep. I've been that excited about it all. But it's great to see the... I stand and look at it. I finish here some days and I just sit down and awe in what's happened, you know, not what I've done. It's just the way that everything's evolved there, and it's come to the stage there that you can go out and say, yeah, that looks good. I think it's great. it's a real blessing. But about blessing, everyone likes to be blessed, don't we? Amen? We all say that. Who feels they've been blessed today? Yes, yeah. So what's different about today as it was from yesterday? What's so different about today? Speak up, I need to... It's a new day. Good one. Yeah, that's part of all. What's another one? Yes. So what's so different? The simple difference is that God has given us another day. Amen? For many people, sadly, that won't be the case. Hasn't been the case, you know. But today, God has given us another day. Okay, get back to where we were. You know, that God has given us another day, and that's the fantastic part about it, isn't it? Because we just don't know what today will bring. But today, God has given us another day that we can come together, we're alive, and we can praise Him, we can worship Him, and everything that God wants to for us to live in this state of blessedness. And right from the very beginning of time, from the day of creation and God created man, God spoke about blessing. And we see that right through the Old Testament. It's how the prophets of old spoke about the blessing. We come into the New Testament. Jesus spoke about the blessing and blessedness. The apostles all spoke and wrote about that. And so some of that's what I want to talk about today. But God has given us another day that we might be the people that God intended us to be. That is that we are a blessed people. Amen. And God wants us to walk in that blessedness and to share and to be partakers of everything that He has for us. And for us to know and realise that God just wants to continually pour out His blessing upon us as we bless Him. What does God say? If you will bless me, I will bless you. And so that's the very heart of God. And we see that from the very beginning of time. It was God's desire to bless. And if you'd like to open your Bibles this morning, just going to share a couple of verses from Genesis. We see there, particularly as the way that God first reached out, and we're looking at in Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, isn't it? Okay. Right. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. This is God speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden there, and verse 28 said, God blessed them and told them, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and be masters over the fish and birds of all the animal. And God said, look, I have given you all the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given you all the grasses and all the other green plants, the animals and the birds for their food. And so it was. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw it was excellent in every way. And this all happened on the sixth day. So God there, right from the very beginning, he said, here, Adam and Eve, I've created all this. I want you to be a part of all this. I want you to share every goodness, every good thing that I have made, every good thing that I've created. It's all there for you to go out and to enjoy it be a part of all this that I've created there for you. So we see that there. And just moving on a little bit further into chapter 9, just lay a little bit of foundation here this morning before I start sort of thing. But in chapter 9, verse 1 there, God meets with Noah there. And it says here in chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, multiply and fill the earth. And he went on to tell them, all the wild animals, large and small, and all the birds and fish will be afraid of you, and I have placed them in your power. I have given them to you for food, just as I have given you grain and vegetables. Some of you might say, I wish he hadn't have made some of them, especially Brussels sprouts. I love them. God made all these good things, and he said again. He just reassured Noah and his family. Partake of all these good things. I've blessed you with all. You're not going to run short. There'll always be food, the meat, and everything there for you to have. And he said, "He says, multiply and fill the earth. Be a part of the blessing." And moving on there again, further on the book of Genesis, chapter 12. In chapter 12 there, we see here where God meets with Abram. And chapter 12, verse 2, speaking to Abram. And I will cause you to become a father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed by through you. We're a part of that blessing today, amen? Through God's speaking to Abram there, where he really made that covenant with Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham, and God gave him that promise of what a mighty man that he would be in started being the father of our faith in that sense. So we're all descendants from right back there. And another verse about blessing. There's so much about blessing and blessedness, you could speak for a couple of years on it if you're that sort of preacher, but as he was speaking to Abram in chapter 17 and verse 20, it says, "As for Ishmael, I will bless him also, just as you ask, and I will cause him to multiply and become a great nation." So, see, you know, God didn't forget everyone. He was including everyone again in there. And just moving on to chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 17. Again, "I will bless you richly." Not just "I will bless you." God says, "I will bless you richly. I will multiply your descendants into countless millions, like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore." So there again, we just see that God just wanted to increase so much, to give so much there. God was just reinforcing the promises that he spoke to Adam, the promise that he spoke to Abram and to Noah, and the promise about he gave to Ishmael there, that God just reinforced that there, you know, that in blessing, "I will bless thee, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply thee." He will multiply us. And he spoke about the stars and the sand and everything he says that thy seed, that your descendants will possess. He said, "I'm giving them, your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemy." That was saying that you can rule over everything. I'll make you high above everything there and that thing. So we see in those few verses there that how God laid the foundation about blessing, about importance of giving blessing and on the importance of receiving blessing. A lot of people like to bless, but they get a bit shy when it comes to them and receiving, isn't it? It's we find that often, feel that very hard at times, and we feel very humble. Often we just don't feel worthy. But God says, "I want to bless you in every way." And so we see there that was God's heart from the very beginning. But God gave the blessing, but He said, with that blessing, "Go forth and multiply." That is the multiplication of all that as God is giving to us, our response is to be a part of that blessing, to go forth and multiply, to do good, to be a part of the kingdom of God in making it all happen, don't we? As we all do our little part in the kingdom of God, we all add to the great call upon our lives that we're going to bring more people into the kingdom of God. And I feel that's a part of us, to the prophets of old and to Adam and Abram. It was all about growing, a lot about expanding the family, wasn't it? In that sense, spiritual growth there, but for us, it's about expanding God's kingdom and also our own lives. We want to grow in every way, as our church name says, amen. God will give, amen. God will give if we are willing to respond. That everything that He has for us, as God pours out His blessing upon Him, as we pour out our blessing, give up our praise, our worship to God, He will just respond in every way, and our lives will be greatly enriched in many, 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 many ways. this word blessing, we say that a lot, don't we? "I'll bless you." But do we really mean, do we really understand what it means. We use it very freely, don't we? And without realizing the true value, I suppose, of what it means when we say bless you. It's a very powerful word, isn't it? We need to be sincere when, you know, it's all right to say, oh, bless you, and walk off, but, you know, when we say bless you, that's God in us, isn't it? So we need to be, it really needs to come from your heart. If you're going to bless someone, well, you better mean it from your heart. You know, because they're God's word. This is God from God. God gave that blessing to us. And we use it on his behalf. So when we're using the word of God, we have to be pretty sincere about it, don't we? When we say, you know, bless you, it has to come from the heart in every way. So when we say bless you, we want others to share in this goodness of God, don't we? And for his peace to be upon them. I think that's what it means a lot when we say that, bless you. What we're saying, trusting and hope and all is well with you, and condensing, you know, a lot of things when we say bless you. I think it encompasses a lot of things, and we trust all those things are well in the life of that person. But when we share this, you know, we want God's peace to be upon them, and when we're blessing someone, we're really speaking well of them, aren't we? And as I said, we want their God's peace to be upon them, and or to praise them, or we say bless you. A lot of the time we're really asking God for his power to come down upon us, aren't we? You know, someone's going through a hard time, and we share with them, and we'll say, well, bless you anyway, and we're trusting, you know, for it to all work out. Well, we're just, at that moment of time, we're just asking God to pour out his power, his spirit, his strength, to be upon us, to help us in that time of need or whatever. But we all need to be living in this state of blessedness, don't we? We don't need to be walking around like sour lemons and all that sort of stuff, because blessedness is a state of happiness, isn't it? A lot of the commentaries say that. But it's something that we nearly need to be reaching out for and developing a hunger and a thirst, you know, for more of this blessedness to be upon us. Having a new heart in us, developing a hunger, a thirst for more, having a heart that's in tune with God, a renewed heart, a renewed heart, a revigorated heart that the prophets have spoke about. We see in Jeremiah 24 there where it says that Jeremiah received a word from the Lord about the Israelites returning to God. And it says there in Jeremiah 24, verse 7, and it says, and I will give them a heart to know me, and that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. Amen? Amen. God doesn't ask for much of us, does he? He asks very, very little. But one thing God wants from us is what? What does God want from us? Our heart. That's all God wants. Worship me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, everything that is within you. That's what God wants. That's all God wants. Nothing. He's not asking you for your tithes, your money. It's a part of that blessing, God, yes. But God can live without that. He's the creator of all. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills and the wealth of every mind. The world financial situation seems to be crumbling around. It still belongs to the Lord. Amen. At the end of the day, it's all the Lord's. But God wants us to be just developing this hunger and thirst for more. And he just wants to revital us and to add a new dimension to our knowledge of him. God wants us to grow deep, to tap into that resort, to draw and to thirst like a tree, any plant life, it just draws from the moisture in the earth. God wants to put a new spirit with us, this spiritual gifting, this newness, this freshness, this revitalization will come upon us, and that God will take away the hardness of our heart, and regeneration will take place. That's what we want to see in everyone's life, for people who are struggling and all that sort of thing. But the word says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take away the stony way, a heart. I'll take away that hardness, and I will give them a heart of flesh, a real fleshly thing. And you notice that that's from Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 there. I will give them one heart. God says, I will give them, I will put in them, I will take away, and I will give. See the promise of God about the I will do this. God's promise is sure, amen? We see that. There are four spiritual promises of blessedness that God wants to bless us in every way. Only if we're prepared to let the Lord have his way in us. When we let the Lord in and we let God loosen our life, God can do such amazing things, amen? We just see it so much, you know, the Spirit of God rising up in people. It's so encouraging to see that in a lot of our people. You know, the Spirit of God, even Brendan in his heart for worship, did not single him out because of my grandson, but it's a fact that, you know, God wants to use this young man. He's training for war, and God wants to do that with each and every one people. And each and every person here today, that God can use us no matter who we are, where we've come from, or what we're doing. God can use even me. Amen? So even you. And in every way, we all have that ability. We use this mouth a lot for good and bad. But, you know, we can use it for so much good in propagating and being a part of this multiplication, this multiplying. That's what God spoke about, this multiplication and bringing people into the kingdom of God, this renewal, regeneration, words that really should excite our faith, amen? And I feel there's a great spirit within us at the moment about the name change, the growth. It should excite us in every way. And as we speak that, as we share it, share this, as we take on this new name, sometimes we forget it, and we say, oh no, it's grown now, but you know, God's doing a new thing, amen? It's this new season within our church that God has taken us through. It's grown. We're going to grow a lot of great things. God's going to grow a lot of great principles and sow great things into our hearts, a new spirit, a new vigorousness or something like that. But anyway... But God just wants to do that. And renewal, regeneration, I suppose, you know, we've heard of quite a lot of that, haven't we, over the last few weeks, particularly with the bush tragedies of the bushfires and that. We hear people speaking a lot about renewal and regeneration and what's going to happen. And you know, these words we've heard in relationship to the tragic fires, that people who have been burnt out and suffered loss in many lives and such a tragic circumstance, you know. But we hear such hearts of what these people are going to do and how they're going to do it. We know that God constantly gives us an opportunity and an invitation to start all over again, doesn't he? Last weekend we travelled through some of the burnt out area, and you just couldn't help but notice how much further you can see now, you know, through the bush. It's like looking through this scarred countryside, and you can just see for miles through the bush or what's left of it where you couldn't see before. I know there's a plantation up there on the Hume Highway, and I often drive past it and think, oh, what's behind there? But the fact is there's more pine trees. That's all there is, but you can't see through there. But now it's just all these scarred blackened sticks, trees with no branches on them, no leaves. There's a bit of a saying, isn't it? You've not been able to see the wood for the trees, but now all you can see is blackened and scorched trees with their branches burnt off. It's so devastating, and for people to really live in that, you know, it must be really, really tragic, really tragic. There's so much emptiness there, you know, whereas before, one particular little part, there's a little sort of valley that runs for a few kilometres, a little creek that runs through it, and in the winter and spring it's so lush and green. It's one of those sort of scenes you see on the you know, the screens are often that comes up there, you know, this peaceful little setting, but now it's just a blackened, charred mess with houses there, you know, chimney or standing there. One particular property there, there's a wooden timber house, weatherboard house, that's standing there on its own. And from here to the edge of the wall, there's a big tin shed, great big tin shed, and it's just crumpled in like that, you know. That the tin metal shed, it just melted and turned in, and the wooden house stood still. Why, I don't know. Maybe the people there housing it. But, you know, it just shows you the contrast and how devastating those fires there. But just going through that and looking at it, it just reminded me how many people like this today, you know. You know, their lives are scarred. And it sort of gave me a picture. I pictured that, you know, the people were burnt out through the burdens of life, you know, much through their circumstances, and much through wrong choices in life. Sadly, that's the case we see. But just seeing all these people, you know, and your heart aches. We see people every day, don't we? And you look at some person, you say, oh, it's sad, isn't it, to see a person like that? And your heart aches. And you want to do something, and, you know, but I suppose we should get up and say, hug them and say, you know, God, God loves you and so do I, and they might give you a slap in the face or something. But, you know, when we see people who seem to have that effect of hardness or their suffering, you can usually see it on some people. And but, you know, you just ache for, you know, God being in their life, don't you? And so you see how much God could change their life. But so, you know, as we see people who have been scarred by life, you know, when we look at people like that, we know what God can do, amen? And so we have that confidence and of God's promise, you know, that he will build, renew, he'll restore everything in that. We can take a person from the miry pits. We've all got a story to tell. Many of us have come from places that we don't want to even think or go back there. But, you know, because now I'm in this new and living way, I walk in it. And so, but God can rebuild people's lives. And in particularly in those people who have lost the desire to take steps or to trust and about rebuilding and not wanting to rejuvenate their lives or renew them. But God will mend broken lives, and at the same time he will bless that broken life. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that God can pick someone up out of the gutter and he put them on their feet and say, "I'll bless you the same way as he blessed Abraham, the same way as he blessed Noah, same way as he blessed others, and the same way as he's blessed us." God can do that, amen? But God wants us, it's just a hunger and thirst, doesn't he? Hunger and thirst, you know, seeking and finding, letting God add unto you. That's Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness. That's what God wants us. He wants us to seek that, to find it, and so much for that to be a part of our life. Does anyone know what it's like to be thirsty or hungry? Yeah, we've all felt the pangs of hunger and thirst many times, I'm sure. Speaking of thirst, it just reminds me of a time as a teenage boy, about 13, and working for my uncle on the farm, and we're picking stumps. After you clear the land, there's all these stumps in the mallee, and the mallee stumps, and when I was a boy, it was that time where everyone had log fires, wood fires, and the mallee stumps were the sort of the gem of all woods, you know. They were great burning, beautiful, and nothing like them. But anyway, after the land was clear, my uncle, he'd get on the tractor and he had the grubber behind him, and he'd be grubbing all the stumps. And poor little me, I had an axe with a steel handle in a bit of water pipe, because we used to break so many handles, but we ended up putting a steel pipe in them. And the pipe used to get that hot, you used to nearly have to carry a bucket of water to keep it cool. But what's this got to do with being thirsty? Well, we used to take the water bag out and we'd hang it under a tree, the old canvas water bag, beautiful. And so hang the water bag up, and whenever you want to go for a drink, you'd wander over and get a drink. So my uncle, we loaded the truck and he take a load of the stumps into the railway siding and unload them, and he left me there splitting, knocking the roots off, and any that were too big I had to split them in half so you could lift them, that sort of thing. And so I think I learned a lot of skills there. But about the thirst, you know, this particular day I think it was 112 in the old scale, and we're out there splitting carton stumps and splitting log stumps and all that sort of thing. And so I'm thirsty, I'm dry as chips, and I go over the water bag, and here's a swarm of bees buzzing around the water bag, and there's this limp looking water bag. The bees had all attacked the water bag and sucked every drop of water out of the water bag. And so there's no dams or anything, because this is all new land. I hadn't got around to putting the dams there yet. So there's nothing there. So I'm out there in the bush. So I just kept on trimming these stumps. And my uncle gets back about 5 o'clock. And I nearly attacked him to get to the other water bag that was on the truck. But, you know, it's just an example. But, you know, that to being real thirsty, that's good. That's what God wants, doesn't he? You know, to have that real desire, oh, I want a drink, I need water. And that's what God wants from us to have about, that's what it means about that thirsting, that hungering for the things of God. You know, there's so much fullness, so much blessedness, so much richness in the things of God. But God wants us to drink till we thirst no more, amen? Just to seek him and find him. As it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. So that's God's promise about this blessedness, that as we seek God, as we find him, as we look to him, as we give everything back, God will add all this to you. You will lack nothing. You will lack nothing. And God is willing to do that. So it's that verse, it's about God's request and us seeking him and finding him, and his promise of blessedness to us, of adding all these things. And most of all, he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. I'm sure many of us, we all have a desire in there that, you know, I'd like to do this, I'd love that. You know, seek God. Maybe God will even provide that. We get a bit greedy, don't we, sometimes, and we ask for some sort of impossible thing, but nothing is impossible with God. But I think sometimes our ambition's a bit high, but God is willing, God is able. God built that building through the generous hearts, the blessedness of people. You all gave something toward that. Many of you have put your labour, the sweat and hard work into that, and putting up with me going crook when things didn't go right. but God wants all this for us, amen? Every little bit, every little thing, you know, there, God's given to us. And it says the same in Luke 12:31, but seek his kingdom and these will be given to you as well, above, more. It's all about us seeking the spiritual benefits, not the fleshly benefits first, and then God will take care and he will add, and the physical things will be added unto us. And so we come along in the New Testament here, but we see so much there. Jesus' heart, Jesus' desire was that we would be a blessed people. Amen? And he spoke that in his Sermon on the Mount, where he spoke the Beatitudes, and that is, and they are a declaration of blessedness. And Jesus said, this is the type of people I want you to be. This is the type of the people, person you can be. As you bless me, I want you to walk in all this blessedness. And he made that declaration of us being a blessed believer, not just a believer, but we would be a blessed believer, living a life of contentment and happiness, that as partakers of his kingdom, that we would share together the ultimate well-being and complete spiritual joy of those who share in the salvation and, of the kingdom of God. Amen? But so Jesus, right from the very outset there, just as the Father God gave the promise back in the beginning, into this new era where Jesus came and ushered in this new way, he sat the people down, and this is he said. He said, and we're reminded of this, what a gracious Lord we have. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. So there we see the thankfulness of the apostle there, speaking about the blessedness of Jesus, the Son of God. Can you put that slide up? Thanks, Roshan. And so Jesus, through his words and his declaration of blessedness, he spoke those on the Sermon on the Mount, but he also gave us seven spiritual promises there, seven spiritual gifts there, if you'd like to just put them up too. Thanks. There. Okay, as the first one sits there, he has promised us rest. Rest where? Rest in him, isn't it? As we abide in him and his goodness, and let everything, hand everything over the Lord, lay it at the feet of the Lord. That's the promised rest, that confidence of knowing that all is well. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. Cast all your cares upon me, for my burden is light. And so he said, I give you that rest. He also gave us the kingdom of heaven. King of Keys of the Kingdom. He said, with all authority and power. Didn't leave anything out. He said, all authority and power. He said, I'm giving you the keys. I've unlocked the door. You can do that through me and reaching out. And he says, I've given you power over the evil spirits where Jesus has given us that resilience, you know, that we have the power to overcome. We are overcomers, amen? And to walk in that way and the strength and reassurance so that, you know, we do not fear. There's no fear to them in Jesus. You know, as Brendan said this morning, we're free. Freedom, it's free here or something. It was a great word anyway, what you said, Brendan. But it meant, you know, that we have nothing to fear. We are not afraid. That's what he said. We are not afraid. And so we can do these things. We can reach out. And Jesus spoke about the living water, about never thirsting. I spoke about that. And as we just look to Christ, he is that life-giving stream. And as we reach out to him and tap into everything, draw upon the well of this wellspring, this spirit that is within us. So that's that life-giving water, that life-giving stream. He said, I am the bread of life, amen? And that he is the true bread, and he is the one we are to look to and worship him and worship him alone. And as we know in John 3:16 and also John 28, the promise of eternal life. That's a powerful, reassuring word, isn't it? To know that at the end of the day, that we're not just going to be left, that we're going into a new phase and another part of our life, which is this everlasting legacy that Christ has bestowed upon us, that we're going to live in eternity him. And the last promise there about this legacy of peace. Peace I bring, peace I give. And Jesus spoke about that, and we see there, and particularly in John, there where it said, let not your hearts be troubled. And we know that when our trust is in God, amen, when our trust is in the Lord, you know, our hearts should never be troubled. We shouldn't worry about, well, what's going to happen at the end of the day, you know, because we have that assurance. We have that promise of the peace that God is with us, and that we have an untroubled heart. So I think I should close there, but again, just to reassure us and encourage everyone here today that God has blessed us richly and mightily in so many ways. Amen? And he just wants to continue that for every person, to enrich your life, to enlarge your tent in every way, that your tent will be so large you'll have to lengthen the ropes to have what God will place in store with you. And I just see that's been spoken over this church before, that, you know, God will pour out his blessing upon us, pour out an abundance upon us. And we know that day will come, and much of that has taken place. Much of that has taken place in the provision of our building, of provision of getting this building we're in today, but so much in the provision of bringing that building to completion. But most of all, God wants to bless us, our lives, our lives. All those, as I said, they're physical things. They're the adding, the multiplication things that God does. But most of all, God wants to add unto you. Amen? Amen. So, Lord God, we just again bless your mighty heart, Lord, toward us. Lord, that you were so thoughtful and caring and gracious toward us right from the very beginning, Lord, where you poured out your spirit and a blessing upon your people, Lord. Lord, and you said to them to go forth and walk in this blessing. To walk in this blessing, to cling to this blessing, to have our hopes in this blessing. So, Father God, I just praise you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Lord, that we can walk in this blessedness, that we are a blessed people. Church, you are a blessed people. Church, you are a blessed people. Take heart to that. Be encouraged that you are a part of God's mighty plan and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.